How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. This week is going to be crazy. Not just this week, but heading into the weekend here. One of the biggest weekends of the year. If you're a fan of Bellator, their version of WrestleMania is taking place this weekend. Dynamite! The Bellator version of WrestleMania is going to be a huge show. Tito Ortiz fighting for a title is a combination mixed martial arts and kickboxing show. Two rings in the same building, just like War Games, except they're not going to be covered in a cage. One of them is a cage. Two rings going on. There are going to be people fighting in two different rings at the same time. It's going to be a crazy idea, a crazy show. That is coming up this weekend. In addition to that, it is the Ring of Honor All-Star Extravaganza show on pay-per-view this coming Friday, going head-to-head with the CMLL Anniversary show, also taking place this Friday. And to celebrate both shows, at some point this weekend, we are going to have the Doctor of Lucha himself appearing on the show, Steve Sims. He'll be talking more about the CMLL Anniversary show. And we are going to be joined every single day this week by members of Ring of Honor. Jay Lethal, the Ring of Honor World and Television Champion, is going to be on the program today. And so we're going to be talking to him about all of the latest storylines in Ring of Honor leading up to this show. It's going to be a very, very fun time. Jay Lethal is going to be on the program today. And of course, we'll also be talking about all of the news coming out of Raw and SmackDown leading into the pay-per-view. There is a WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view that is coming up on Sunday. So we'll talk about that and so much more. Lots of stuff coming up, everybody, so check it out. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Ready for a very, very big week. We've got Ring of Honor guests every single day this week. Jay Lethal is going to be joining us today. He is the ROH World and Television Champion. And if you've been paying attention to WWE storylines, you may have noted that they've also got a guy who's a double champion. In fact, this coming weekend, Jay Lethal, on Friday, is going to be defending both of his titles against two different opponents. And Sunday on pay-per-view, Seth Rollins is also going to be defending both of his titles against two different people. Funny how that works. Jay Lethal is going to join us today, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk to him about, including something that I'm wondering about after the Ring of Honor television show that I watched this week, and that is why they made him shoot a second and nearly identical Health Alert Hotline ad. I thought the first one was perfect, but apparently it was not. Mike, are you ready for a crazy weekend?
I am ready for that. I think I am, at least. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be as fully invested into everything as some other people. In fact, by default, I may end up being solely in the camp of Ring of Honor. Unfortunately, I will be out Friday night, which means I will miss the pay-per-views, the dueling pay-per-views that'll be taking place between Ring of Honor and CMLL. The thing is, because I'll be out and won't be able to see CMLL live, I will be disappointed in that the CMLL show will only be available live and will not be available on demand and will not be available to go back and rewatch, even if you do order it. So because of that, it looks like the anniversary show is out, which I'm really, really disappointed in, and I just don't have this love for Bellator that many other people will have this weekend. I will be, I guess, maybe somewhat more interested as it rolls around, and my interest will be peaked because I'm sure there's going to be all sorts of wacky gimmickry that Bellator under Scott Coker will now be known for, and I'm not, don't have any problem with that, and you know they got to do something to make themselves stand out, but As it stands right now, I'm not too interested in it, which leaves Ring of Honor, and that's okay.
Yeah, Dave is very, very upset as well, because he's going to a Bellator Fan Fest on Friday, and that does in fact mean he can't watch the CMLL anniversary show either. It is very weird. They're streaming the show live, but they're not going to make it available on demand, and that's left the Lucha fans that had plans for Friday night pretty upset. The Ring of Honor show is available on pay-per-view, and you'll be able to DVR it or I guess order the pay-per-view when it re-airs. But the full card, everybody, for that show, Ring of Honor, Friday and Saturday night as well. Saturday is interesting because I should mention that they'll be doing a television taping the next day in San Antonio, home of Ed in San Antonio, I believe. And it will be a television taping that is going head-to-head with an NXT show. So funny how that works. This is a very strange battle between WWE and Ring of Honor in the sense that WWE, they're running head-to-head in certain markets. In some ways, they're being very aggressive towards Ring of Honor. Vince McMahon got very upset about a Kevin Steen marketing deal and laid down a decree that they will not hire anybody who has worked for Ring of Honor. Now, granted, things change. They for a while, they weren't going to hire anybody from TNA, and the next thing you know, Samoa Joe is hired with a very, very good deal. So I don't know if I'd read too much into that, but as they are aggressively attacking Ring of Honor, they're also stealing their booking ideas, including the main event of this Ring of Honor show. ROH champion Jay Lethal will be facing Kyle O'Reilly for the ROH title. He will also be facing Bobby Fish for the television title. They've got the tag team championships on the line. The Addiction will be defending against the Kingdom and the Young Bucks. The Briscoes will be facing a mystery team. We have a best of five series, number three in the best of five series. ACH will be facing Matt Sydal. We have a no disqualification match, Cedric Alexander versus Moose, with Veda Scott and Stokely Hathaway in the respective corners. And Veda Scott, by the way, will be the main eventer of Ring of Honor Week. She's been booked for Friday, and I'm told she's going to be a very, very good guest. The boys will be on the line. Silas Young will be facing Dalton Castle with the greatest stipulation ever that, amazingly, WWE has not stolen yet. Dalton Castle, if he loses this match, Silas Young, the last real man, will get possession of the boys. However, if Dalton Castle wins, Silas Young has to become one of the boys. There's so many ways that they could go with this storyline that this may be the real main event of the show. AJ Styles versus Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, Michael Elgin to determine the number one contender. And that's the card so far for the ROH show. What are your thoughts on that one?
I am so conflicted over Dalton Castle and Silas Young, the last real man, a real man's man, a man that I wish would have been on this show this week to spread the word of manliness out to all of these people that are listening. With that said, though, if he loses, I mean, no matter how you go with this, it's going to be great. So the TV after this will be fantastic. I assume it'll be mostly a TV-driven thing, not necessarily for pay-per-views, although I'm sure we're not going to see the last of this feud, and I'm sure we'll see a definite finish of some kind, no matter which way it goes. But yeah, that amazingly is the thing I'm most interested in. And I,
well, hold on. Let me talk about that for a second, because I've got a couple of ideas here. Number one, if Silas Young becomes one of the boys, which if this were WWE, that would be what they would do, because Silas Young cost Dalton Castle a match on the Go Home show. And so in WWE, that would mean that, okay, you know, Silas cost him the match, so Silas is going to lose at the pay-per-view. I don't know if they're going to do that, but...
And they go for cheap, wacky comedy quick.
Yes. But think about this. If Silas Young wins, I mean, what's he really going to do as one of the boys? He's going to put on the outfit and he's going to sulk around ringside. What can you really do with that? Maybe they got a bunch of brilliant ideas that I can't think of right now.
Eternal struggle. It's like when
sure.
The guy in Shogun was laying there and the dude peed on him, the emperor or whatever it was, and he had to suck up his pride and lay there as this man just peed on him like he was a dog and showed dominance over him. Same thing, although they probably won't do too much with the peeing.
No.
You know, him having to get on all fours and be there and live up like a man to his word as Dalton Castle steps upon him and forces him to be fanned.
Okay, but I got a potential better idea. And this plays into what you asked the other day. Can we do both? What if Silas Young wins and Silas Young gains possession of the boys? Now, what has Silas Young said he was going to do if he gains possession of the boys?
make them men of in his eye.
That's right. He is the last real man. And he says that he's going to turn these boys into men, which is actually, he's a baby face here. He's trying to do what's best for the world. Yeah, boys to men. So what if he gains possession of the boys? And first off, we get a series of awesome vignettes where he's trying to teach them to change a car's oil and chop wood and do all sorts of manly man things. We get that for a few weeks. However, each day, there's something that the boys do that Silas Young kind of cracks a little bit of a smile about. And so, after weeks and weeks of vignettes of him trying to turn them into men, what actually happens is he becomes a boy. And he gets so excited about their way of life. And he's the one that goes from man to boy. We have him out there partying. We have him at raves. We have him doing all of the crazy thing that the boys in Dalton Castle are doing.
Or we end up having a no contest, double DQ. And because of that, we both become winners. And we had Dalton Castle and Silas Young as a team. And we get the boys becoming men to face off against them.
But you can still do this. When Silas goes from man to boy, he ends up going, you know what? You were right all along, Dalton Castle. This is the modern way of life. This is great. And they team together, and they do all sorts of wacky things. And then, of course, at the end of the day, it was all a ruse, and Silas Young just beats the living hell out of him, and then they can feud even longer.
That would bring me joy.
God, there's so many ways. This is like the perfect, this is the perfect stipulation. It's too bad it's already paying off. All right, everybody, back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Jay Lethal is going to be on the show in about 20 minutes here. And I was not going to get into the calls today, but I am so intrigued by who this is that's been calling for 25 straight minutes that I've got to find out. Parts Unknown Line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
How everybody knew
pay
that.
Pay the man.
Ed, what have you been calling for 25 straight minutes when I hadn't even had the lines open?
Well, I told you I have some women's news I have to get out, but I also have to...
He has to get this out, Mike.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to be within 50 feet of any? What?
Okay, let's hear it, Ed.
No, just... I thought you were taking calls today because you usually take calls on Monday. I'm sorry. But I watched the WSU women's pay-per-view. And the current, one half of the current Shine and one half of the current Shimmer Tag Team Champions broke her collarbone in the match. And pretty bad. I think she broke it in half. And I think that's going to turn a little turmoil to the Shimmer tapings coming up in a few weeks and also for Shine.
Why don't you tell the thousands and thousands of listeners who you're talking about?
Cherry Bomb.
Thank you.
She had appeared on TNA.
That's an important detail.
Well, I thought I had said her name. But yeah, Cherry Bomb, she injured her pretty bad. It looked bad. You could tell right away she was hurt. And it was also Athena's send-off before she goes to the WWE NXT. I know Jim had called asking about that, so she had her last match for WSU. And I just want to let everyone know that besides being Ring of Honor week, I just need your go-ahead, and I'll email Sal, and we will have the Shine Week set up for the 28th through the 2nd. And that's ready to go. I just need your okay on that.
All right, Ed. Well, I'm letting him go. That was a lot for me to process right there. I will get a hold of you, Ed. We will set up a Shine Week for sure. Did he mention Cherry Bomb's name?
Yes, he finally did, yes.
Okay, but did he mention it earlier? Was I just not paying attention to him because I was just so baffled that he called for 25 straight minutes on a no-calls day?
I'm with you. I may have done the same thing, but I don't believe he mentioned it, no.
Well, to be in all seriousness, I feel really bad for Cherry Bomb because there are few injuries that suck worse than a broken collarbone. So hopefully she gets well quick. And that's right, Athena is heading to WWE, as is Biff Busick, who's been on the show and he was a great guest. Unfortunately, that means probably won't be a great guest for a long time now. That's how things work. But fear not, we've got all of these great Ring of Honor talents on the show this coming week. Should mention that there is also the Raw show tonight. Sting is going to be on the show. It is the go-home show for the Night of Champions pay-per-view, where You'll never guess, Seth Rollins is defending two belts on one show. It is Seth Rollins versus Sting for the WWE World Heavyweight title, and it is Seth Rollins versus John Cena for the WWE United States title. And plans can change, but the latest that I heard was that the Seth Rollins-John Cena match was going on last, meaning that Sting was going to get his match earlier in the show, and John Cena was going to headline the show. Now, that makes sense to me because my guess is that most likely John Cena is going to win the U.S. title, and Sting is not going to win the WWE title. So you do a screw job finish in the middle of the show, and then you do the title change as the main event finish. Send everybody home happy, at least the women and the little kids. Now, somebody did mention on the show the idea of giving Sting the WWE title as like a lifetime achievement award, and then immediately or the next day having Sheamus cash in and just take it away from him, because I don't think he really wants Sting as a champion. So that is a possibility.
Did you say someone said that?
Was it you?
Yeah, I said that.
I could have sworn it was a caller, but you could do that. Good idea, Mike.
Man, this is the where you're putting me on the level,
Mike,
of our
callers.
Mike, we got
so
like
many
Ed and San
callers
Antonio
on this show that have such great ideas that aren't named Ed. Could have been anybody. But hey, that's a great idea, Mike. You know that that's a great idea. But you know what? I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think so either. And it probably makes the most sense that they don't. You can do some sort of tomfoolery, whatever you're going to do to get out of Sting and people being upset with him not winning the title. But, you know, we've said a lot about a lot of different things on this show over time. Who cares? Sting losing to Seth Rollins and not becoming WWE champion, I don't think is going to put bullets into Sting as far as anybody really is concerned, unless they don't do something with Sting that's any good leading into WrestleMania or leading into the next time they use him, if it's something that's garbage. People are going to probably react to that negatively, but they would probably do that anyway. So him losing in a title match to Seth Rollins, no big deal. Seth Rollins can go out there, have the excuse that he lost to John Cena, you know, because he was in the match earlier, which leads to him and the authority, you know, Triple H, you know, down the line saying, well, you know, a real champion would have persevered through and beaten two men in a night like Chris Jericho did, or blah, blah, blah. So no matter how you go with this, you got a story coming out of it. And I think that's probably the best way to go. Seth Rollins doesn't need the U.S. title. John Cena does. And John Cena has done a good job with the U.S. title. So those stories can continue with him having the one-off good matches or leading him into short little feuds here and there. Seth Rollins getting the world title back again, gets it in a cheap way, goes out and loses in the main event. That plays into the storyline with him, the authority, if he's you know, comes out looking weak one more time, which is how he's been played the entire time. So yeah, I'm completely fine with that. Although, if Sting gets the Lifetime Achievement Award, who cares? The only bad part about that is, you know, how does it come off of him? And it's probably going to be Sheamus, and I don't think any of us need that right now.
Problem is, he's got the deal. So he either cashes in and fails, which I would be an advocate of, by the way. You don't have to give the guy the title. Or he cashes in and he's got the belt for a while I guess I'd have to do Seth Rollins. I guess you could do like a three-way.
No, you know what you do? I think that if you're going to do that, I'm sorry, taking it off of Sheamus, I think the best way to do it is take it off of him with Dean Ambrose in some sort of situation where Roman Reigns can look like feel as though he's gotten screwed again, which would play back to last year's WrestleMania and really last year's Royal Rumble with people thinking that, you know, he's the golden child, even though he keeps coming up short or he keeps getting screwed out of, you know, his chances of ascending to the top. I think you can play into a storyline with him and Dean Ambrose that way. You get the briefcase off of Sheamus, and then you get it onto Roman Reigns when he somehow cheats to get it, or or waylays Dean Ambrose to get it, taking his shot, which, you know, puts extra heat on him, which I'm sure you would want.
Wait. So Dean Ambrose is getting a shot, or Dean Ambrose is getting the title?
No, Dean Ambrose gets the briefcase away from Sheamus, and then Roman Reigns gets the briefcase off of Dean Ambrose,
so
which means
the briefcase ends up for grabs.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so you work in the storyline somehow that way, where Sheamus doesn't cash it in, Ambrose somehow challenges him, or basically he goes up for grabs that way, and then you get it off of Sheamus, that way he's out of the way. You get it, and then you use Dean Ambrose as a transition to Roman Reigns with it.
Well,
you think about it, in the entire company, and this includes Randy Orton, who could, you know, he's fine with having the briefcase. Who else in the company should have the briefcase?
Well, here's the thing. I think Roman Reigns is turning heel, and so
exactly,
yeah. But Sheamus, I'm trying to fit all of this. Listen, I don't even want Sheamus to have the title. So he won it in July. Just have him hold on to that stupid thing for almost the whole year. Or how about this? Sheamus is the first guy who forgets when he won it, and his time limit expires.
Well, if you're going to do
there
that,
go.
Though, I mean, at least, then you're really killing the importance of the briefcase. Cause
no, you're not. You're making Sheamus into an idiot.
Yeah, but he already looks like one, and that's enough. I mean, you know, don't kill the briefcase. Have it go to a Roman Reigns, who, again, should be you've tried to make him the biggest baby face. I think at this point you try to make him the biggest heel. I've been a big proponent of that. And why not get some extra heat on him by having him steal a briefcase that Ambrose, takes off of Sheamus?
Well, forget all this. My big question coming out of this weekend is we have two companies doing the exact same main event angles. And the champions in both cases are the top heel in the company. Which champion do you think is going to come out of this weekend's booking looking stronger? I bet it's Jay Lethal. And for everybody that says, well, you know, Seth is this or that, they're both heels. They're both the top heel. They're both the top heel champion. And I'll bet the Ring of Honor does a better job with the booking than WWE. And the other question is, if Ring of Honor does something on, let's say, that Jay Lethal defends the ROH belt first and wins via screw job, and then defends the television title second and loses it clean in the middle, if that's WWE's booking idea, are they going to still do it, or will they change everything because Ring of Honor did the same thing on Friday night? So many questions here leading into this weekend, and luckily for everybody, we can talk about some of it with Jay Lethal, who is going to be on the program after the break. And by the way, very quickly, the other matches on the pay-per-view Sunday. We have Nikki Bella versus Charlotte, which I guess is a rematch of whatever happens tonight. I don't even know if that match is official, but that match is taking place tonight. If Nikki Bella wins, that means she's got a great boyfriend, and she will also break AJ Lee's record. And if she loses, Charlotte will be the new Divas Champion. New Day versus the Dudleys, who we are presuming are going to be defeating the primetime players, or they could do a three-way. And then we've got Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and a mystery partner, and Ziggler versus Rusev. Back in a moment with Jay Lethal, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined today by, I believe, the most decorated champion who's ever been on the show, Jay Lethal, the Ring of Honor World and Television Champion. And Jay, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. After an introduction like that, I mean, the most decorated champion, it sounds unreal. Like, you're not even talking about me.
I've never had a double champion on the show ever. Ever.
Whoa. No way.
Never.
Wait, I'm a first.
That day, the very first time. Now, before we get into all of this, let's talk about the important stuff here. Pedro did a great job with that Health Alert Hotline ad, but let's be realistic here. The greatest Health Alert Hotline ad, as we talked about last time you were on the show, is the one that you do for Sinclair and ROH television.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Now, here's my question. I watched the show last night. I swear to God, I have watched your Health Alert Hotline commercial so many times that when I watched the show last night, I immediately noticed it was a different one.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You're right.
And
you're
my buddy Vinny was like, are you sure that's a different one? And I was like, I'm positive. I'll ask Jay tomorrow, but this is a different one. And it was like a cover where it's so close that it's almost identical.
This is busting her up inside, Jay. I don't think you realize how bad this has really affected Brian today.
Well, it's not affected me, but my question to you is, why did they, the first one was perfect. Why did they make you do it again? And they made you do it again, like, virtually identically.
Yeah, when I reshot them, the day I reshot them, I did about five. They wanted one without the belt, one with just one belt, one with two belts. So they just wanted some variations because I was a double champion, that's all.
I see.
Yeah, I love doing those. And I swear, the first time I ever did it, I read the lines. And in my head, I'm like, well, I mean, we got to make this stand out. It's a bit cheesy, the lines, if I read it, just normal boring. So I tried to picture, like, how would Hulk Hogan read this? Like back in the day, you know, when Hogan would promote something, or you saw Hogan on a commercial, like he did a Rent-A-Center commercial. I tried my best to do it in the style of that, just to so that it would catch on, or it'd be catchy, or people would absolutely hate it, but at least they'd be talking about it, you know?
Nobody hates it. I'll fight those people if I hear somebody that says they hate it.
This is why Ring of Honor rules, though. They go and they reshoot the commercial, and they because they want cohesiveness with the storylines. And WWE can do all the copying they want, including copying what Jay is accomplishing in Ring of Honor right now. But they'll never have those cohesive storylines.
Can you believe, Jay, that they're doing the same storyline 2 days after Ring of Honor does it on pay-per-view?
Call it a coincidence.
It ain't a coincidence.
I tell you what, though, on like a real note, if it's not a coincidence, what an honor to say that I was able to do something along with Ring of Honor that inspired, I don't think anybody will clown about saying this, is the number one wrestling company in the world. How amazing is it that I was had some part in inspiring them, if that is where they got their idea. Man, that's amazing to be able to say.
Now, the other question that I have for you, this is over the air radio, so of course we have to watch our language, but
yes.
I was watching the show last night, and it was all of the build for the pay-per-view, and you're talking about your two matches with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, and your interview closes out the show, and you're doing your promo, you wrap it up, and then you pause for a moment, and I could have sworn, Jay, that you concluded with, screw you. And I went, what? How unprofessional. And I rewound, and I you said that, didn't you, Jay? What a terrible thing to say to your opponents.
Oh, what a horrible thing for someone who isn't supposed to be liked to say. Yeah, I definitely did say that. And the coolest part about those promos is, you know, when they turn those cameras on, we're not reading a script, or they didn't give us some major outline. It's just, you know what match you have coming up. If you feel it, just let it flow. And literally, that's what Truth Martini and I do. And for some reason, I don't even know why. I just, in the moment, I felt like I had to throw in that little, am I allowed to say that on the air here? No.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I felt like throwing that little screw you in there. That's one of the coolest parts. At TNA, when I was there, the promos that I was able to do whenever they had me do is you just do what you're told, even though I had a tiny bit of freedom because I was this Macho Man character. But at Ring of Honor, it's so much more relaxed. And that's why I feel like I believe my promos are much better than they've ever been, because it's just such a relaxed feel. I don't feel much pressure, and I'm just able to let it flow. I love it.
Well, you know, I remember watching when you were in TNA, and you would do the like the Ric Flair promos, which, I mean, they were like great. They were great Ric Flair parody promos, but I also have felt that your stuff in Ring of Honor is so much better. And granted, you're older and everything is a little bit different in Ring of Honor. It's a more serious style. You're getting a chance to do things you don't do in TNA. But I always thought that you were good in TNA, but when you were a Ring of Honor, I felt you were great. And I guess the question is it just because you've left TNA and you have more freedom, or is it a combination of both? You have more freedom, you've had more time to develop, you've got better guidance. What do you think it is?
It's definitely both. I definitely had a lot of time to develop. The Macho Man and the Ric Flair thing, they both helped me break out of my shell and become comfortable in front of the camera and comfortable talking, as weird as that sounds. And Terry Taylor used to always tell me, you know, actually it was Terry Taylor and Raven. They would say, your Macho Man impression is great. Your Ric Flair impression is great, but your Jay Lethal needs a little work.
Wow.
And I had cut a few promos as just me, Jay Lethal, but never even seen light of day because they just didn't like it. Vince Russo hated them, which is why I believe that there was such a large gap in me once I wrestled Flair and then later on I was gone. Those two characters helped me come out of my shell and helped me develop a lot. So it wasn't just me exiting the company that made me better. It was the time that they had given me to help season me, so to speak. And then now that I'm in Ring of Honor, just the freedom to pretty much do and try new things. If they don't like it, they'll say, hey, don't do that or change it up. And I'm free to change it up, man. It's just amazing what you can do when you're comfortable at work instead of feeling like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, oh, am I going to get in trouble for this? You know what I mean?
You know, there's certain guys like, I mean, John Cena, I think you could give any goofy John Cena rap song and it would be fine. But if you get a guy like Undertaker, I mean, change his music, it's death. If you change Shawn Michaels' music, it's death. If you change Ric Flair's music, they'd be like, what is this?
Right.
Your music, I don't know what it is, but it is, to me, it is such an important part of the whole act. It's so dramatic. And
oh, my goodness. You're not kidding. I remember they sent me, we have a special site of, not uncopyrighted, but songs that have been given to us that we're allowed to use by various artists. And literally there's thousands of songs on here on the website. And when I found that one, it reminded me of, I don't know if you ever seen the first Saw movie, but when it's near the end, and hopefully I'm not spoiling this movie, it's been years ago, but Jigsaw's laying on the floor, and everyone just assumes that he's dead because he's been there throughout the whole movie. And this music hits, and he stands up in slow motion. Oh, my goodness. Just the music, just thinking about that scene gives me chills. And when I heard this song, it reminded me of that, because he was the ultimate bad guy, because then you realize that he was the one setting all this up. Man, it was so cool. But yeah, that's what I see when I pick that entrance song. Man, I love it.
And on the topic of music and your opponents for this weekend, if you want to cut a promo, you need to cut a promo on Fish and O'Reilly's music. I mean, God bless these guys. God bless them. But that music sucks.
Yeah.
I'll probably lie when Kyle's on the show later this week, but come on.
Tom Lawler's going to be pissed at you for that a little bit.
Can we all agree this is a terrible song?
It is.
I think they're going for the opposite, you know, crappy, I was about to curse there. Crappy song, great wrestling.
Sure.
Maybe that's what they're going for.
But yes.
Yeah, what do you think? Fish and O'Reilly have been like, you know, in the last year or so, maybe a little bit more than that, everybody's favorite overnight success story, even though that if they look, those guys have been doing it a long time, and you're probably one of the most seasoned, 30-year-olds on the planet. You have to be. You're an old crusty veteran, and you're not even at your prime yet. And you're going out there with Fish and O'Reilly, who have been really their you know, shine has gotten a lot brighter because of the work with New Japan. But, you know, them as singles wrestlers, you know, it's been an epiphany, I guess, for some people. How forward are you looking to these matches? Because they are going to be, I mean, I would be shocked otherwise if they weren't going to be great.
I would be lying if I told you that I wasn't just a tad bit nervous. every wrestler starting out when they start an indie scene, they've all been in a situation where they have to wrestle twice. But it just there seems like no big deal. It's not for television or pay-per-view. It's not for coming as known all around the world. Just the amount of eyes on this and the paper, because of pay-per-view, you know, that always produces a higher quality match. Everyone brings out the best. And, I mean, man, I wouldn't be lying if I said, well, I would be lying, sorry, if I said I wasn't nervous at all. Because I am. I've wrestled both of these gentlemen several times, producing great, what I consider to be great matches. Kyle is an amazing wrestler. Him, Roderick Strong, Kurt Angle, I consider these guys machines. Sometimes in the ring, they just never seem to get tired. So Kyle always pushes me to my limit. Same with Bobby Fish. And now I got to wrestle them both. And another thing that's got me nervous is, you know, I don't want this to be the Jay Lethal show, a crappy showing. You know, I'm really feeling the pressure to deliver, so to speak, on both of these matches to the best of my ability. But that's the job of every wrestler who goes out there. They always want to give and do their best. But I really believe I'm going to be put to the test here.
Now, very quickly before we headed the break here, two matches, the Roderick Strong one-hour match and the Roderick Strong rematch. Which did you think was the better match?
I vote the rematch. The rematch, my God. Wrestler's dream for the moment that where they don't even have to lock up and the crowd is letting you know that they're 100% behind everything that is about to happen. And I literally felt that. It doesn't get any better than that, and especially since there wasn't heavy promotion of the rematch. I mean, they mentioned it. There was a few things here and there, but it wasn't like super pumped on every commercial or anything. So the fans really wanted it. Man, it was amazing. I vote the rematch.
All right. Stand by. We'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and double champion Jay Lethal, Ring of Honor, returning to pay-per-view this coming Friday night, September 18th, San Antonio, Texas, All-Star Extravaganza 7. Jay Lethal versus Kyle O'Reilly, as well as Jay Lethal versus Bobby Fish, both championships on the line. Jay, let's get some plugs out. The floor is yours.
Well, the only plug that I really want to put out there is my Twitter handle, which is @TheLethalJ. That's the one that I use the most. So get on Twitter and like me, follow me, poke me, tweet me. But whatever you do, make sure you catch Ring of Honor this Friday night live on pay-per-view, All-Star Extravaganza, the greatest wrestling locker room in the world. The Briscoes, myself, Adam Cole, AJ Styles, live on pay-per-view, we will prove why we are the greatest wrestling locker room in the world.
As well as Silas Young versus Dalton Castle with the greatest stipulation of the year so far.
Well, what are your predictions on that?
I spent 20 minutes trying to figure it out. There's so many great options with either finish that I can't decide which one I want. But very quickly, I think my favorite is Silas wins, he gets the boys, he tries to turn them into men, but in the process of doing so, they convert him into a boy. And he gets all excited, and he goes to raves, and he puts on the outfits, and he waves feathers at the end of the day, so we get both stipulations.
Well, the best of both worlds, I love it.
That's right. Well, Jay, listen, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today, and best of luck this weekend. I have a strong feeling you'll come out one way or the other better than Seth Rollins will at the WWE pay-per-view doing the same gimmick. But I very much appreciate it. And, of course, we're going to be back with Ring of Honor guests all this week, everybody, live, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Thanks so much to Jay, Mike, everybody at Sports Byline, the callers and listeners. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network.